The reason that so many people who believe in Jesus are struggling is quite frankly because they're not men and women of God's Word. They don't take God's Word seriously. Well, today, that's something we need to deal with because there is such an incredible blessing waiting for you in God's Word. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Thanks so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called When God Speaks. So join me as we deal with some really tough and important issues. Issues that we all face in our lives. And as we share this time together, my prayer is that God's going to light a fire for His Word in your heart. A Holy Spirit fire. Waiting for something that you really want, waiting and waiting and waiting, is incredibly hard, particularly if during that waiting you're enduring some kind of hardship, some sort of suffering, something that you've been asking God for again and again for Him to deal with, to bring a resolution to the problem and end your suffering. You've no doubt been in places where sometimes it doesn't seem as though a resolution, an end, is even possible. How long do I have to wait? Some people find it surprising that the Bible actually deals with that very question. It contains the heart cries of people who are exactly in that position. Like this particular guy, Psalm 119, verses 84 to 88. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? The insolent have dug pitfalls for me. They do not live according to your law. All your commandments are sure. They persecute me with falsehood. Help me. They've almost made an end of me on the earth. But I have not forsaken your precepts. In your steadfast love, give me life, that I may keep the testimonies of your mouth. Seems like this man is in fear of life itself. We never find out who they are, but they are certainly his enemies, and they are certainly after his life. It doesn't get any worse than that. And in that place, it's easier to shake your fist at God, to be bitter and resentful of God, because he's not showing up. Yet notice how this man asks the question, how long must your servant endure? The psalmist remains God's servant, even when his life is being threatened. This isn't some fairy tale. It's a real man praying to a real God about the injustice and the danger that he's facing. And despite those things, he remains faithful to God. He continues to trust God. All your commandments are sure. And he's not swayed or drawn down to the level of the evil that's pursuing him. Even though they have almost made an end of him on this earth, he has not forsaken God's precepts. And he pleads his life into God's hands so that when this stuff ends, when his suffering ends, he can continue to do good on this earth. That's powerful stuff. If you're suffering right now, I don't know when or how your suffering will end. I don't know how long you still have to endure. But I know this. In the middle of your suffering, in the middle of even the most dangerous and life-threatening of circumstances, you can choose to remain God's servant, to do good, to stay in God's word, and to plead your case, even your life, into God's hands. In fact, that's the very thing that he wants you to do, because his love for you reaches to the heavens, his faithfulness to the skies. When a storm blows in on your life, you need to know the truth about God. You need to know, not just in your head, but in your heart and in your experience. As you look back on your life, what are some of the amazing things that God's already done for you? I remember even before I knew God, when I was a 3-pack-a-day smoker, he took me to a place where I watched someone die of lung cancer. I haven't smoked a single cigarette since, and that was over 34 years ago. I was set free from a serious addiction in that instant. God's hand is on our lives, even when we have absolutely no idea. And when we know his love and his faithfulness like that, in our hearts and in our experience, we can, like the psalmist, proclaim, "Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You have established the earth, and it stands fast. By your appointment they stand this day, for all things are your servants. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction." Psalm 119, verses 89 to 92. See, when the whole earth shakes and trembles, the word of God is still firmly fixed in the heavens. God's word is unshakable and immovable. When generations pass, as they do, his faithfulness endures. That's what I call a rock-solid foundation. And it's that sort of foundation that you and I need in our lives to withstand all the challenges and the storms and the wilderness experiences. The reason I open my Bible most mornings is because that's where I choose for my foundations to be. I, like you, have things that come along to rock me and to shake me, things that could easily blow me over. I so get it when the psalmist says there, if God's law, God's word, hadn't been his delight, he would have perished in his affliction. Let me be plain and clear, unmistakable. In God's word is your refuge. In God's word is your strength. When you sit and listen to him speaking into your heart, something happens to change you in the most incredible way. I know that many people struggle hugely to get into God's word, either because they think they don't have time or they imagine it's too difficult. But take just that one scripture, Psalm 119, verses 89 to 92. Just spend some time in those three verses in the middle of your affliction, and I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit will show up. I guarantee you that God will take that word of his and breathe courage into your heart and life into your weary bones, because that's what he does, and that's what he wants to do. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. This is so important. Please hear the words of Jesus today, calling you back to his word. And to help you on that journey, don't forget that life application booklet I've been telling you about these past few weeks. It's called When God Speaks. And right now, I'd love to send you a free copy. You can request yours online at christianityworks.com. You'll see that offer at the top of the homepage. Just click on it, pop in your name and email, and the free e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. And if you are able to stop by online, please don't forget to check out Christianity Works TV on the homepage. You can watch this week's message on your smartphone, tablet or computer. That's Christianity Works TV. But back to the free booklet again. It's called When God Speaks, and that web address, in case you missed it, is christianityworks.com. Hop online right now, because this is the very last week it'll be available, so don't miss out. And while you're there, check out all the other free resources and downloads, like the Media Lounge, and may you be blessed mightily as you receive the Word of God into your heart. So here's a question. Would you like to be wiser than your enemies? You do have enemies. We all do. But do you want to have real wisdom in dealing with them? God's wisdom, more wisdom than them? If so, you're in the right place. I remember back in the days when I worked as a consultant in the corporate world, the brutality of office politics would never cease to amaze me. And even if you're not travelling through a patch at the moment where you don't seem to have any human enemies, you can be absolutely certain that your enemy, the devil, is on your case. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, "We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places." And your enemy, the devil, he's a pretty crafty individual. He's seen it all before. He's been around the block quite a few times more than you and me, and he knows how to strike you at your weakest point. He knows how to push your buttons. He knows how to lead you astray. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. "Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." Sensational. Now, I'm not the sort of person that goes looking for a demon under every sofa and bed, but there is a spiritual dimension and there is a physical dimension. We live and exist in both places, and we have enemies seen and unseen in both dimensions. So, would you like to be wiser than your enemies? Here's what God has to say. Psalm 119, verses 97 to 101. Have a listen. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. So there you have the psalmist praying, talking to God. And he's saying how much he loves God's word, what today we call the Bible. Of course, back then he only had the first five books of the Bible, the law as it's called, because the rest of it hadn't been written yet. But why does he love God's word? Because God's commandments make him wiser than all his enemies. They give him more understanding and insight into complex and difficult issues, even more so than his teachers, because he thinks about what God has to say. Hey, God wants that for you too. He wants to impart his wisdom to you too. He wants to make sure that you're smarter, that you have more insight than your enemies by speaking his wisdom into your heart. And it's all right there in the Bible, ready and waiting. And it's never too late. You're never too old to receive the wisdom of God into your heart. I want to tell you about a friend of mine, Neil. He's well into his 80s, and he's lived, shall we say, a pretty colourful life. After a recent operation, his body's a bit frail now, but his mind and his wit are as sharp as ever. Recently, he decided it was time he had a Bible. Here's how it happened. He's been coming along to church for years. You know how it is. His wife had been dragging him along. At first, he kicked and screamed, and he didn't want to come. But after a few years, it became a bit of a habit. So he rushes up to me after a service a few months back and says, Bernie, I need your help. I've decided you're right. I need to start reading the Bible. Can you help me buy one? Wow, that got me a bit excited. So I did. I ordered a study Bible for him online a few months ago in a contemporary English translation, at which point I promptly forgot about it. Just the other Sunday, before the service, Neil grabs my hand and says, it's changed me, you know, that book I've been reading. Me, I've completely forgotten, so I stupidly asked him, which book? A little surprised, he answers, well, the Bible, of course. Ding, I remember. But there was a light in his eyes, a spark in his voice. He was excited about it because he realized that through the Bible, God had been speaking to him in a deep, personal, intimate way. God was digging around inside this old man's heart and unearthing things that had been binding him up and holding him back for decades. As I watched Neil and listened to the genuine enthusiasm in his voice, it brought such an incredible sense of joy to my heart. Here's a man who had discovered the power of God's word, and it reminded me of this beautiful scripture, Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We're genetically programmed to like sugar because it's a ready source of energy. Of course, these days, sugar's in everything and it's killing us, but back when that psalm was written, sugar was a rarity. Either you had to be next to a fruit tree in season, or you had to fight the bees for their honey, which was always going to be mildly problematic. So you can imagine the psalmist talking here about this rare, exquisite, sweet thing called honey. And he's saying, God, your word is like honey, only sweeter, only better. I love your word more than honey. Can I ask you plainly, is that a discovery that, like the psalmist, like Neil, you've made in your heart? Because it's a discovery that's ready and waiting for you right now. A discovery that's going to light up your world in a way that's difficult to imagine. Darkness is a fact of life. Every night the sun goes down, every morning it comes up again. Light, darkness, it's an inexorable cycle. And the whole point about darkness is you can't see. I mean, sight is arguably one of the most important of our five senses. If you don't believe me, blindfold yourself for 24 hours and just see how you get on. So when darkness creeps in on our lives, as it does from time to time, the problem we have is that we can't see through it. Think back to the last dark patch that you went through in your life. You were sad, you were broken, you were hurt, you were alone, whatever it was. I'm sure you remember it as though it was yesterday. Hey, it could even be that today is a dark day for you. So let me ask you, how well did you make decisions in those dark times? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I chew this or let it pass? Should I choose that or keep away from it because it's going to hurt me or because it's not God's best for me? It's not easy, is it? Even when things don't seem all that dark, the truth is that we're always making decisions with incomplete information. You and I don't know what tomorrow will bring. You and I don't know what other people are thinking and how they're going to react. You and I don't know what God's thinking and what his plans are. But he does want to tell us. He does want to shed light on the situation for us. He does want to guide our steps. And he does that through his word. Psalm 119, verses 104 and 105. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, when you read the Bible, you get God's understanding of what's going on, and you don't want to make the wrong decision. God's word lights up your heart. It becomes, in a very real sense, a lamp for your feet to help you take the next step and the next one after that, and a light to your path to help you look up and see ahead. It's with that light that God wants to light up your heart. It's that light that God wants to throw out at your feet now to help you take that next step. It's that light that God wants to shine on the path ahead to give you some sense of where it's going. Now, he probably won't give you the whole picture, but enough to get you heading in the right direction. He wants to do that for you right now. I'm Bernie Diamond, and we'll get back to today's Christianity Works message in just a moment. Now, this program that you've just been listening to is heard not just here on your local station, but through over 1,350 stations in 160 countries. And yet we face so much spiritual opposition in so many places because, frankly, our enemy, the devil, does not want millions of people each week hearing the good news about Jesus. So can I ask you a huge favor? Would you pray with me that God would open many, many more doors around the globe for us to share the stunningly good news of Jesus Christ with the lost? Because our heart, his heart, is to reach the unreached with his love. If you're serious about praying with me, you can check out this month's prayer list at ChristianityWorks.com. And while you're there, don't forget there's also a treasure trove of resources in the Media Lounge, conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. Topics like adversity, the devil, spiritual warfare, relationships, and lots, lots more. God's word is so powerful, so check out that Media Lounge at ChristianityWorks.com. I want to see your life transformed as you receive God's word into your heart. Now, have you ever found yourself in two minds over something? Perhaps this, but on the other hand, that. This or that, this or that. Will I or won't I? Sure, it's good to weigh things up, but sometimes we can take this procrastination thing and turn it into an art form. Okay, today it's time to call a spade a spade. Fact, most of the people who say they believe in Jesus don't read the Bible on a regular basis. Fact, most of the people who say they believe in Jesus, when push comes to shove, will go with instinct over and above what God's word says in making a decision, be it a big one or a small one. Fact, most of the people who say they believe in Jesus are suffering through the consequences of sin that could have been avoided if only they'd given God's word sway in their hearts. I wonder, are you like most Christians who don't take God's word seriously enough to allow it to be the guiding light in your life? I'm not here to give you a guilt trip. I'm here simply to help you make up your mind. Psalm 119, verse 113. I hate the double-minded, but I love your law. There you have the person who wrote that psalm saying to God, I am so sick of the double-minded. I've made up my mind, God, I love your word. I love what you have to say. I love the way that I can be rock solid in my faith no matter what this world throws at me, because I am a man of your word. That's the effect of what he's saying to God. Are you in a position to be able to say that to God? Or to be blunt, are you swinging this way and that? Well, you know, God, I'd love to be like that, but reading the Bible every day, I'm a bit busy, you know, and I have a lot of pressures, you know, and then I hear a message at church and I realize I should read my Bible, but then life takes over again. Well, God, you know how it is. You see, double-mindedness doesn't work. James chapter 1, verses 5 to 8. If any of you lacks in wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that's driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. It's time to make up your mind. Are you going to be a man or a woman of God's word or not? Do you want to live a powerful, victorious life in Jesus or not? Do you want to have God's wisdom, God's guidance or not? Do you want to have the joy and the peace that Jesus died and rose again to give you or not? Because let me tell you, the or not, quite simply, is not God's will for your life. It's just not. Because when push comes to shove, when the going gets tough, God wants you to know where to flee. God wants to be your refuge place. God wants the best for you in those dark times. But unless we're ready, unless we have his word in our hearts, that simply isn't going to happen. When disaster strikes, where do you turn? When people are nasty to you, where do you turn? When you just don't know which way to turn, where do you turn? Well, where do you turn? The Bible is full of verses about God being the place where we can and should turn. Psalm 119, verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word. When the chips are down, we can hope in God's word, in what God says. We can believe in his word above the world's words. We can believe in his faithfulness above the world's seductive promises. The problem is that so many of the people who say that they're Christians, who say that they believe in Jesus, who say that they trust God, simply can't live out what they say because they don't have the word of God in them. Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Great. But let me tell you, you simply can't cry out to God, God, you are my refuge and my fortress, in you I trust, with any real conviction from the middle of your storm, unless first the Holy Spirit has written that word on your heart. And he won't have written it on your heart unless you were in God's word beforehand. Hey, we all have storms. We all go through dark times. I do and you do. But the man who is a man of God's word and the woman who is a woman of God's word, they sail through those storms in victory. Even though their emotions are all over the place, even though they're struggling and in pain, they know in their heart of hearts that their king reigns. That's the confidence that you get from being in God's word every day. I have a friend who calls himself a Christian, and I know him well enough to know that he is. He believes in Jesus with all his heart, but he refuses to get into God's word. He doesn't like to read, so hey, the Bible is just an optional extra. No, thank you, sir. That's just not true, because when the storms of life hit, I want to be grounded in the word of God. I want the confidence of God alive and well in my heart. I have a word for you today from the Lord. Listen carefully to what he says, and my prayer is that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll receive it into your heart. John chapter 8, verse 31, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And to help you do that, here at Christianity Works, we've published that great life application booklet that I mentioned earlier. It's called When God Speaks, and right now, I'd love to send you your very own free copy. But please remember, this is the very last week you'll be able to request it, so don't miss out. Just stop by at our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, to request yours. You'll see the free offer right there at the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. And while you're there, don't forget there are so many other free resources available, like Christianity Works TV, so that you can watch this week's message on our weekly TV broadcast. And of course, you can have instant access to Fresh, the free Christianity Works video devotional, words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement delivered right to your inbox each weekday. But back to that free booklet again. It's called When God Speaks, and the web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week right here on Christianity Works with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.